Today I'm talking to Ryan O'Neill, who is perhaps described as a short story writer, who was born in Glasgow in 1975, and he's lived in Africa, Europe and Asia before settling in Newcastle in New South Wales. And his fiction has been widely published, and now it's appeared in a collection of short stories called The Weight of a Human Heart. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, up front, look, this is a terrific collection of stories, but can we call them a collection of short stories, or should we call them something else?
No, I think they're still a collection. They're told in different styles. Some are more realistic and some are more experimental. But I think one of the sort of major themes that ties them all together is maybe languages and words. So yeah, I think it could still be called a collection, yes.
I was going to start by asking you about that, about the thing that they have in common, is that at the core of these stories is a fascination with words and language, and I suppose it describes the delight in the incongruity of English. And I'm thinking of one story called A Story in Writing. Why this fascination and fixation with language? Where does it come from?
I've been for a number of years. I was an English language teacher. I taught in Eastern Europe and Africa, and also in Australia. I'm teaching international students for a few years. So, teaching that's very interesting. You kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the language and the grammar, and also in encountering foreign students, you can see how they use the language, and sometimes the way they use the language is very flexible, and it's. They come up with some lovely turns of phrase that maybe aren't grammatically correct, but they can actually be quite beautiful. So yeah, it was my job, and just from that, I just kind of developed this interest in language.
Can we call it, though, more of an interest, more of a fixation? Is that fair? Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm a bit inclined that way myself.
Yes, it's funny. It
It's
wasn't
not normal,
until.
really, is it?
Oh, sorry.
Do you think it's normal?
Well, everyone's got their fixations. It might
Yes.
be, a football team, or it might be, verbs and gerunds and things like that. So, we just happen to go that way rather than the opposite way, I think.
I think it's a wonderful fixation. I'm someone like myself who's fixated with apostrophes and those
Oh,
sorts of
yes.
things. Now, look, a number of the characters, though, in your stories do live in Newcastle or have backgrounds similar to your own, but they're obviously not you. Are you sort of reassembling bits of yourself in the stories?
Yes, but bits of myself and bits of other people's lives,
Hmm.
Bits of friends, bits of family, bits of conversation, even overheard on the bus.
Yes.
So it all comes from everywhere, gets all mixed up and changed around and altered a little bit. And then there's also, obviously, a lot of it is to sort of pure imagination as well.
Yes.
But some of the stories are more autobiographical than others. The story Four Letter Words. Is it slightly autobiographical? My father did have a stroke, and that happens in the story. But that's probably the main thing that's true in that story, and the rest of it's made up.
Yes. Now, you said at the beginning that there's a certain experimental sort of edge to your stories, and I'm thinking of probably one of the most obvious ones is Figures in a Marriage. But obviously, you're doing more than trying just to be tricky or inventive here. So I'm wondering, why was a more conventional form not appropriate for these stories?
I think one of the things I wanted to do in this collection was to have both the more conventional stories and the more experimental stories. I think they complement each other. And I also think one of the good things about experimental stories is that they can tell perhaps an old story in a new way. Just for example, Figures in a Marriage is about the disintegration of a marriage, and obviously that's a story that would have been told tens of thousands of times, in short stories and novels and films. And I was looking for a new way to tell that story, and I thought one of the ways that maybe that hadn't been done before was through graphs and charts, and also it might so it'd make that sort of old theme a bit more fresh.
Yes. Now, just before we came here, I was actually having lunch with a Greek Australian friend of mine who's teaching English in Hong Kong. And when I told her I was interviewing someone that I described as writing postmodern stories, she was absolutely delighted that postmodern stories were still being told because she thought they probably were dying out. So you probably like that sort of connection language-wise.
Yeah, I think I think in Australia there has been a tendency more towards realism.
Yes.
Even from the time of Henry Lawson onwards, Lawson really set the template for kind of realistic stories. Although in the 1970s you had writers like Peter Carey coming along, and and Murray Bale, and they were very postmodern. But
yes.
Apart from the 1970s, much of the short fiction that has been written in Australia, you would call more or less realist. So, but I think experimental or so-called postmodern short fiction is making a bit of a comeback. In the last few years, it has made a bit of a comeback.
Now, be they experimental or postmodern, but it seems to me that at the core of these stories, there's a great compassion for human beings. And I suppose the title of the book itself, the collection, The Weight of a Human Heart, is a bit of an indication. And it saves them from being merely smart, postmodern experiments.
Well, thanks. Thank you, John. I think there is always that danger with experimental stories that it will just be about games playing. But I do think there is room for that in short stories. I think you can write short stories that appeal to the head, or you can write short stories that appeal to the heart, or you can write hopefully stories that appeal to both. But there is that chance that games playing can be a bit sterile.
Yes,
and it can keep the reader a bit cold. But
just a bit too smart.
In the collection, those stories, there's a reason why they've been told in that way, and explore human emotions and feelings. So hopefully you don't get that feeling of sterility from them.
So I'm just wondering too, always curious to know how a particular collection came together. I know that a number of these stories had already been published. Was there a unifier to these stories? Or is it just that your intention to try and bring together the postmodern structure with the more compassionate heart?
Yeah, I think for me it was I really wanted to do a collection that would hopefully be surprising, that the reader would read, and they would read one story, and it might be first person set in Africa, then go to the next story, which might have footnotes that are integral to the story, then the next story might be book reviews. And so it would be hopefully surprise the reader. One of the things about a single author short story collection is there is the danger of a feeling of sameness.
Yes.
Because the author's voice, kind of can carry on from story to story. And I was hoping to mix things up a little so that the reader would never quite know what kind of story was going to come next, a tragic one, a postmodern one, a traditional one. And so really a lot of the structure or the way it was ordered came from that. And then when we actually had the order, just quite late in the day, I realised that pretty much all the stories shared this interest or obsession with language and words.
Yes. Well, I think they certainly succeed. And we certainly are surprised. I certainly was surprised by each of the stories and pleased at the same time. Now, in a number of these stories too, there's a bit of an ambivalent father-son relationship. Is that another preoccupation of yours?
Yes, again, it wasn't something I'd actually noticed until they were all brought together. It's funny. People do ask me about this, and they think I must have had a traumatic childhood or anything. But I really don't know where that came from. I have a very good relationship with my father. I love him.
Yes.
And, it's funny. One of the things that did feed through into many of the stories was that my father had a stroke when I was about 13 years old, and that stroke, he's still alive, he's still okay, he's okay, but that stroke actually affected his ability to read and speak, and my father was a great reader, he loved books, and the stroke took away his ability to read, and I think that's another reason why I'm very interested in language, was seeing what happened to my father and how he lost and regained to an extent the ability to speak and to read.
Another, not a preoccupation, but certainly a feature of your stories is that connection with the Rwandan genocide. What was your connection with it? Because you were in Africa.
I was a teacher, an English language teacher in Rwanda for 2.5 years, from 1999 to 2001. That was 5 years after the Rwandan genocide, and so obviously living there was something. Being an outsider, it was something you were aware of. and you did hear stories from time to time from friends and people you knew. And it was only a few years after I left Rwanda that I actually, I'd never really intended to write about it, but the story sort of appeared and demanded to be told.
Yes,
so I started to write some stories set in Rwanda.
I'm just wondering too, that sort of, there are sort of influences from all the different places that you've lived in, but I'm wondering whether you sort of write in any sort of particular Scottish tradition. Does that affect your writing, do you think?
It's, yeah, to be honest, I haven't read much Scottish.
Is there a Scottish short story tradition?
When I was obviously born and brought up in Scotland, but when I was living there, I tended to look outwards actually for reading. So I would read South American literature, American, English, European. I don't know why. I think if you're living in, maybe when you're living in a place, it doesn't seem that exciting. So. When I was living in Scotland, it really didn't seem that exciting, and so I looked outwards. So in terms of any kind of literary or short story tradition, I don't know if there's a... In Scotland, again, there's been more of a realist tradition than postmodern.
Yes.
I'm not sure where it would fit in there.
So you seem to have been able to soak up, you know, those sort of traditions from where you live. Should we expect bit of an expose about Australia in your next line of writing?
that's the interesting thing, is that I've lived in Australia for about nearly 8 years now. Mm. And it's my home, and I intend to live here for the rest of my life. But to me, it's still very much an exotic country, with sometimes strange customs, sometimes strange turns of phrase, and strange use of English even. So that's one thing why I'm drawn to write about here. I never really wanted to write about Scotland, because Scotland for me is very ordinary. But even now, after 7 or 8 years, Australia still remains quite a strange place to me, and that inspires some stories.
I suppose that is an advantage for a writer then, doesn't it, to be in a place that seems strange and exotic. Unlike we have sort of lived here for quite a while, it perhaps does seem a bit mundane and closed.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the best short stories and novels are written from the perspective of an outsider, and so I'm actually quite glad. Although I love living here, there's still part of me that feels like an outsider.
Yes.
And I don't know if that will change, and I kind of hope it doesn't change, because it gives me a very good perspective and different ways to tell stories.
So I'm interested in the way your writing's proceeding now. Are you sort of moving towards a similar? Are you going to continue with the short fiction and towards another collection?
Yes, people often ask me if I would like to write a novel. I would say if I had a good idea or a great idea, I would. But so far, all the ideas I've had have fitted quite comfortably into short stories. And one of the great things about short stories is that they are short. So if I have an idea, it might be an experimental one.
Yes.
I can write it. It might take, 3 or 4 weeks. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't, that's 3 or 4 weeks. If it's a novel, you'll be working on it for 3 or 4 years or longer. And if it doesn't work, then that's a lot of time, to waste. So at the moment, I'm very happy to stay with short stories.
Well, I, for one, too, will be very happy to see you staying with short stories, too. And look forward to your next collection of short stories, Ryan.
Oh, thanks very much, Sean. Thank you.
And thanks very much for talking to us today.
Pleasure.